وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي
That which ye give in usury in order that it may increase on other people's property hath no increase with Allah.
Welcome to Islamic Economy, a program that is aimed to make us understand what Islam tells us with regard to spending, with regard to saving money, to dealing with money.
God is looking for an economic system that's based on real things. It's based on real production. It's based on real services. It's based on creating real value for people.
Islamic Economy, a program that offers Islamic solutions to your economic problems in your daily lives.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Dear listeners, welcome to yet another program of Islamic Economy, a program that is dedicated to discuss different economic matters that Islam has discussed and the solutions that Islam has provided and what are the things, what are the directions that Islam has given for a society which is prosperous in terms of Islamic economy or in terms of economy per se. In our previous episode, we tried to look at what is the relationship between the equilibrium of the soul and economic prosperity. Because our goal and our ultimate aim is to have a society which is affluent in terms of economy and which is independent and which does not depend on any other kind of power except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, such a society has a lot of advantages. Now, we say that if a person has attained the equilibrium of the soul, then the natural consequence would be economic prosperity. Why? Because when a person achieves the equilibrium of the soul, he achieves the traits of taqwa and obedience, because his wisdom dictates that because Allah, God, is all-wise, whatever He tells us in terms of economy, in terms of the different obligations, will take us to prosperity. And therefore, if a person obeys God, then he would not have any problem. This is something which is intellectually understood. But then we have a lot of narratives and a lot of verses of the Holy Quran that tell us, if not directly, indirectly, of the relationship between obedience and economic prosperity. We started enumerating some verses which are very direct and very clear that if a person obeys Allah and observes God-wariness, that means that he obeys Allah and refrains from what God has prohibited, then he will see that he would have economic prosperity, and such prosperity will come to him, that such economic prosperity that it would not hamper him from prospering in the hereafter as well. This is something which is worthy of contemplation that inshallah we will mention. We just tried to quote one of the verses of the Holy Quran, which is chapter 7, verse number 96, and we did not discuss this verse. So let us first recite it, and thereafter inshallah we will discuss about some of the very important points contained therein, and we'll come to realize the relationship between the soul which is in the state of moderation and equilibrium and the prosperous society that we are aspiring for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter A'raf verse number 96 says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بركات من السماء والأرض ولكن كذبوا فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون. If the people of the towns had been faithful and God-worthy, that means they had Iman and Taqwa. And we discussed what Iman and Taqwa means. Basically, Iman is faith. And Taqwa is that state of being obedient to Allah and God-conscious, and that whatever Allah requires from you, you obey. If the people of the towns had been faithful and God-worthy, we would have opened to them blessings from the heaven and the earth. But they denied, so we seized them because of what they used to earn. Dear listeners, there is a principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like to inform us here. That if the people of the towns had these two characteristics, one is that they had faith in Allah and they were believers, number one. And number two, they were God-worthy. That means they obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. Then what does Allah promise? لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Here, I would like to stop in some very important phrases in this verse so that we can understand how rich is this verse. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if these people were believers and they were God-worthy, we would have opened for them barakat, barakatim minas samai wal ard. We loosely translate barakat as blessings, although barakat literally does not mean blessings. What barakat means are the good things which are, number one, which are on the increase, number two, which are perpetual, and number three, which are abundant. So it is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you become a believer and you observe piety, then I will give you bounties and favors which are such that which are abundant and which are perpetual. That means you will have abundance and perpetuity. And that is very important. Sometimes a person has abundance, but after some time, this abundance is superficial. It finishes. No, abundance and perpetuity. The most important thing is this ni'am are mubarak and are full of barakah. That means they are full of thubat and perpetuity. They continue. So if, for example, you have knowledge, that knowledge does not stay. It continues. You progress. Even when you go towards 70s and 80s and 90s and 100s with Allah's help, it continues. And it's not only that, but it is abundant always. So this is an example of a kind of good blessing that Allah gives in the heavens. Because when you talk about knowledge, you talk about the higher realm. We don't talk about the physical world. But with regard to the physical world, we talk about the sustenance, the food, the clothing, the children that you get, and so on. These are the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. This is one thing, that the word barakat, which is loosely translated as blessings, cannot be rendered to mean just blessings. No, they are those divine favors which are abundant and perpetual. This is one very important point worthy of regard in this verse. Another very important point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people who believe and observe taqwa, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We will open for them blessings from the heaven and the earth. What does from the heaven and the earth mean? Some of the exegetes of the Holy Quran have said that what it means is that the rain and the beautiful things that come from the sky, the clouds, the rain, and whatever comes from the sky, from those things that help the human being, even for example, the sun, the moon, all these are blessings that help the human being. So they would get a situation there whereby they would be benefited from the rain and from the clouds and from all the things that come from the heaven. لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And earth is referring to the vegetation, plants, animals, and so on. So, you know, it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I would give you blessings from this apparent sky that you see and the earth that you see, which is also something very powerful. And many of the mufassirin have written this as the meaning. But there is a group of mufassirun who tell us something more sublime. They say, مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ shows something else, because sama refers to a lofty plane of existence. So, barakatim minas sama means those blessings which are not material, they are immaterial. Things like knowledge, things like good akhlaq, things like jannah, and all these beautiful things that a human being would get from the heavens and from the higher realm of existence will benefit such a person just because he has observed taqwa. And this is a reality. If you look at the Holy Quran, you'll find in different places of the Holy Quran this has been mentioned, that if a person observes piety, then he would get knowledge. If a person observes piety slowly and gradually, he will progress in his ethical behavior and so on. And therefore, what is meant by barakatim minas sama'i wal ardh in conclusion is the immaterial and metaphysical blessings and the physical blessings that are gotten by a human being in this world, like the food and the cattle that a person has, the money and the wealth that a person has, the offsprings that a human being has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted a human being, and so on. This is another very important phrase that I wanted to mention in this verse. And yet another important phrase which is contained in this verse, inshallah we will talk about it in our next session. Our time is over. But in conclusion, what we have mentioned is we have tried to discuss a verse that clearly tells us that there is a beautiful link between the equilibrium of the soul, which makes a person be muttaqi, that is, when a person is in the state of equilibrium, he is pious and he is obedient. Between this and between economic prosperity, there is a clear and powerful link. All right, this, the first is what cause of the second, and the second is a consequence, a natural consequence of the first. Insha'Allah, we will look at the details in our next episode. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Oh my creator, oh Allah, fulfill our aims in life, Allah. Forgive our sins, ya Allah. Oh Allah, the most gracious, ya Rabbi bin Mustafa. بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما